what is going on with the Defense Department and what they are doing about it. Hi, Jason. So we're going to start with the sabotage attacks. What are these things?
Well, that's the idea of a hacker, nation state, or really any bad actor taking down a system or critical infrastructure instead of just crippling it through clogging the incoming network with botnets, you know, where they're sending thousands and hundreds of thousands of computers attacking, and that just clogs up the system.
Denial service, you basically just throw everything you can at a website and bring it down.
Correct. Now, the remote sabotage attack is different. General Keith Alexander is the director of the National Security Agency and the head of the Defense Department's new Cyber Command. He describes the differences using some well-known denial-of-service attacks.
Estonia and Georgia were distributed denial-of-service attacks. Once these attacks stopped, the information systems were able to continue on with their job. But the potential for sabotage and destruction is now possible and something we must treat very seriously.
One well-known example of a sabotage attack, or what they termed as a potential one, is the Aurora experiment DHS did back in 2007. As a reminder, this is where it showed that you could really control an electric turbine and break it down, really, make it stop working remotely by hacking the control systems through the internet. And this
Scary.
Scary. Yeah. Because this is what got the DHS and others really focus on the critical infrastructure protection that we hear so much about, because, as again, time and again, we hear 90% of all critical infrastructure is owned by the private sector. Now, Alexander says part of this is DoD faces some known threats and a lot of unknown threats, and every day the military networks are probed 250,000 times a minute, more than 6 million times a day. And let's keep in mind, DoD's networks really are the prime targets for everyone. Anyone who's upset with the U.S., is whether it's policy-related or just for fun or just because they want to steal information.
Yeah. Well, it can be just, hey, I'm in a basement. Let's try and hack them.
Let's try to hack them.
But it's also a lot of bad guys. What is DoD trying to do to protect itself against this new type of attack?
One thing we've seen time and again, DoD is on the forefront of technologies and processes to protect their networks. Alexander is talking about improving situational awareness is really the key. While the rest of the government is worried about continuous monitoring, really DoD is moving to the next phase of cybersecurity. Alexander says DoD must build a common operating picture and a situational awareness for all of its networks, like they do when they work with battlefield troops.
We have no situational awareness. It's very limited. Oftentimes, our situational awareness is indeed forensics, which means that something has happened. We are now responding to that, and we're saying, okay, something got through. How do you see your network? As you looked at that and you tried to look at all your networks, you didn't have real-time situational awareness of those 7 million machines and all your networks. And the consequence of that is it was almost policing up after the fact versus mitigating it in real time. So, the requirement, from my perspective, we need real-time situational awareness on our networks to see where something bad is happening and to take action there at that time. That is both a coordination issue amongst the services and agencies and a situational awareness issue. We do not have a common operating picture for our networks. We need to get there.
Jason,
we need to build that.
Jason, we toss around this term situational awareness. Essentially, that means knowing what's coming at you. And in many cases, we don't often know what's coming at us.
Right. It's what's happening on your networks right now.
Yeah.
Who's pinging you, or at least what is being thrown at you, and how are you defending against it? And the point that I think General Alexander is making is they just don't have very good situational awareness. They have a lot of after the fact situational awareness. Oh, well, that happened yesterday, and we know that we got pinged 100,000 times by or this country or this group did that to us. Now, at the same time, situational awareness also means sharing data in real time at what he calls net speed. Now, another piece of this whole idea of situational awareness and better. Defense against these types of remote sabotage attacks is the idea of better integration of command and control of both offensive and defensive capabilities of their networks. In fact, part of the DoD Cyber Command is trying to do that. Alexander recently combined two existing staffs, the Joint Functional Component Command for Net Warfare and the Joint Task Force for Global Network Operations, JTF-GNO, into a single operations center where they're doing command and control for all their networks at Fort Meade, home of NSA and the Cyber Command.
Yeah.
So we'll do a test later of what the JTF-GNO stands
for. General Alexander, of course, he just took the helm of DOD Cyber Command 2 weeks ago, something
May
like that.
May 21st.
Yeah, so just landed there. Offer any insights into what they're going to do, what this command is, how they operationalize some of this stuff?
He didn't offer as much as I think many thought he would. I talked to a couple others after the speech, and several told me that he really didn't take advantage of the opportunity at the CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies speech this morning, to lay out his goals, objectives with real down-to-earth specifics. He did talk about several broad objectives for the command, including working internationally and partnering more closely with industry.
We must recruit, educate, train, invest in, and retain a cadre of cyber experts who will be conducting seamless interoperability across the full spectrum of network operations. Finally, we must be able to operate and adapt to situations at net speed, leveraging technology for automated, autonomous decision making. Together, NSA and U.S. Cyber Command will be the intersection of military, intelligence, and information assurance capabilities vital to the nation's comprehensive cybersecurity strategy. We will perform this mission with your trust and confidence, but we will only succeed by working as part of a coherent team. We will partner with all departments and agencies. We will actively engage all branches of government.
Now, interestingly, he also spoke about the mission of the command using three separate definitions. The official definition, the DOD definition, what Deputy Secretary of Defense Lynn said the other day. And he made a point early on in his speech to say how good of a job Howard Schmidt, the White House cyber coordinator, is doing. It was almost like he was trying to get ahead of any concern, any criticism that really DOD would be leading the cybersecurity effort across government. I thought that was a very interesting point he made early on.
Yeah, a lot of conversation about people saying, okay, are we almost militarizing the internet.
Right, so. And he made the point to say, no, we are not militarizing the internet. This is defensive capabilities.
So General Alexander mentioned several times what he will focus on, but one of the things he didn't talk much about in your clips is privacy and civil liberties. A lot of concern about when DOD first proposed this cyber command about these privacy issues. It's high on people's lists.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. And one of the reasons for the delay in getting the command stood up and General Alexander's confirmation to lead the command was the issue of making DOD cyber commander the head of NSA at the same time. NSA, as we know, focuses on intelligence and offensive capabilities, while the cyber command's focus, as we just talked about, is defensive and monitoring capabilities. So only those two go against each other. Alexander actually did talk quite a bit about privacy and civil liberties, I think, for this reason. He says there is a lot of oversight and firewalls in place to ensure NSA's mission doesn't creep into the Cyber Command's mission.
The way we've set up the oversight on that is by having a set of oversight mechanisms by all branches of the government. Government, the court system, and Congress all need to play a part in that and know that the actions that we're taking comport with law and protect the civil liberties and privacy of our people. The hard part is we can't go out and tell everybody exactly what we did or we give up a capability that may be extremely useful in protecting our country and our allies. And so that's the real, what I see is the two things that we balance. And so I do spend a lot of time with the court and with Congress explaining exactly what we're doing, where we have issues, where there needs to be change, what we can and cannot do.
He says that DOD and the government more generally really must build confidence with the general public, with other, you know, state and local organizations, with the private sector, that they are abiding by and protecting civil liberties and privacy laws and policies and regulations. This is a big deal. I mean, he mentioned this several times in his speech, and he really took to heart saying, listen, you know, we can't always tell you what we're doing, but please, you know, almost like trust us.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the concern, you know, when the initial cybersecurity review came out about a year ago. People were actually counting how many times they mentioned privacy and civil liberty issues. And yet there is this concern that this is the militarization of the internet. And there was that bill that went around that would give the government the ability to almost shut down the internet.
And in fact, that's coming back up in Senator Lieberman. Yeah. Joseph Lieberman's bill has popped up again. We had a story on our website this morning. But I think that's not going to happen. I mean, from what I've been talking to people, not necessarily about that bill, but just that idea, it's too 1984-ish, if you will, George Orwellian. One of the things that's very interesting about the whole privacy and civil liberties discussion is the White House has said we're going to put someone in that role in the in the cyber coordinator's office, and we kind of waited for that announcement and never heard anything. Well, just this past, I guess, management change conference in Philly last week, Chris Panner spoke from the White House, and he talked about there is someone in that role now. He didn't give a name, but I think that that's a recognition that, yes, it's out there. Yes, this person's doing this very important role. Now, the other piece of this that hasn't really come up yet is the Privacy and Civil Liberties Board that really overlooks these issues, not just from a terrorism-related standpoint, but from all of government. And I think DOD would be a part of that. So it'll be interesting to see when that board gets stood back up.
It's a little bit unusual to have somebody out this quick. I mean, 2-3 weeks. And you said he didn't really lay out his goals. He's only been there for 2 or 3 weeks. So sometimes that can be a little hard. On our Dorabeck Insider must-read list, we posted the defense secretary, Deputy Defense Secretary William Lynn, has an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, and he talks about the benefits of this cyber command. They're clearly focused on getting word out that this exists.
And I think they want to say, look what we're doing to protect networks. We're not just sitting back and letting it get hacked. I mean, for a long time, as you know this from covering this area, DOD would say, don't look over here. Nothing's happening. All is well. And then slowly things came up. I mean, we heard about Titan Rain. We heard about some of the other hacking. And, you know,
The Pentagon's network itself was hacked, and all sorts of data got stolen.
Right, but they never talked about it. Only in the last 2 or 3 years, they've really gotten more out of it. And I think that this is a part of that, saying, we know we have a problem. We're fixing it. We're really addressing it. And cybersecurity, is a big focus of this administration. And I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing Deputy Secretary Lynn, General Alexander, really being more vocal about it.